become a devotee of Krishna. So, how to become a devotee of Krishna? That was taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna himself, nobody could be a better teacher than Krishna. So Krishna came in the mood of a devotee just to show us how we can actually become devotees. So Krishna tells us, man mana bhava mad bhakta. He's saying, this is the end instruction. Give up everything else, just surrender unto me, become my devotee. But without this chanting process, without the mood of Lord Chaitanya, we won't be able to become devotees. It's not enough to try to penetrate Bhagavad Gita just by our intellect. Of course, that can help. But in order to become, to really get the mercy of Krishna, Hare Krishna, as Arjuna did, then we have to become really a devotee. So in this Kali Yuga especially, it's an age of quarrel. I don't think anybody who reads the newspaper can argue about that. So much quarrel at every level. But if we can come like this and chant, then we can come above quarrel. No more quarrel. Just let's sit together, clap our hands, even a child can do, and feel some relief from this quarreling atmosphere, from this materialistic, worldly atmosphere. I know you have to go out in the world. All of you are working for the most part. You have to experience the bitterness on some occasions of the of circumstances, of relationships, of the way people deal with you, and the way you deal also with people, and then feel guilty about it, right? In either case, we get caught up sometimes in the worldly life. So come together like this, chant, and then there'll be some relief at least. You can understand, this is the real you that feels some relief. Then again, you have to go out. At least you'll understand that this is not your real home. The people who would think that this material world is their real home, they become uncomfortable with the message of Bhagavad Gita. They feel that it's threatening. Even your Dr. Radhakrishnan, who was the president of India for some time, when he was translating Bhagavad Gita, he came to this part where Krishna says, you should give up everything, just surrender to me. And it was too much for him. He said, well, so he translated, it's not to Krishna you have to surrender, but to the unborn within you, something like that. He didn't want to accept Krishna as a person that was standing and eternally present in his transcendental body, that you have to please, ultimately. Even your Mahatma Gandhi, he became nervous. The people become nervous when they think that here's a person, ultimately God is a person, and you have to please. You have to surrender to him. So they become impersonal, or they make some adjustments so that they don't feel that necessity. But actually it's a very sweet thing to surrender. The really sweet taste of devotional service comes by surrender. And it's a normal, it's a natural thing. It's not artificial. People will say, oh, you're brainwashed, therefore you accept Krishna or you accept spiritual master. No, it's not like that. It's joyfully performed. It becomes something that you relish more and more. The more you can surrender, the more you're able to see Krishna reciprocate. Krishna promises, as you surrender unto me, I'll reciprocate. So it's a very enlivening, very joyful process, surrendering process. Of course, we do have to be fortunate to meet the Krishna and Krishna's representative, and otherwise we can be cheated, that's a fact. But this is our natural position. Nicho nityanam chaitanam chaitanam. There are two eternals. One is dependent, one is independent. We happen to be, by constitution, dependent. We're not independent. We're supplied so many things. We're dependent on the supply of air and water and so on. So this is our constitutional position. So to recognize that and to find somebody that we can take shelter of, a shraya, that's the word used, like Bhaktivinoda shraya, he says, Bhaktivinoda is taking shelter. It's a shelter. There's a real shelter there at the lotus feet of the Lord, at the lotus feet of the representative of the Lord. So it's not brainwashing. It's intelligent. Why should I? Prabhupada used to give the example of a street dog. In India especially, you see the street dogs are very neglected and nobody cares for them. But if somebody, if a dog has a master, he's walking with a chain, or he has a house with a fence, then he's very powerful. Why are you coming to my house? He feels very strong, the dog, because he has a master. The street dog will never. He'll just run away. So this is the position. We're all like dogs, actually. But we're happy to be the dog of a Vaishnava. Sometimes we talk about these neck beads. They're like a dog collar, we say. Just keep me as the dog of the Vaishnava. Once Prabhupada was talking like that, about how the dog of Krishna, something like that. And I objected. I was in some other devotees were there. I said, Prabhupada, we don't like to hear that you speak about yourself as a dog. He was saying. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna's dog is not an ordinary dog. And he said, and otherwise, dog also has a good quality. They're very faithful, loyal. So that was appreciated by Krishna and by Prabhupada, of course, if we could keep that, you know, that loyalty, chastity. Like, why is Mother Sita so? Because she was chaste to Lord Ramachandra. Or Mother Sati, who was gave up her life because her husband was being insulted. So these are ideal example of chastity or loyalty. One-pointed devotion, Ananya Bhakti, means one-pointed. We want to come to the point of worshipping Krishna, Shyam Sunda. Here he is on the altar with his threefold bending form. So this is our target. Once when Prabhupada was making the society, a friend suggested, why not make it the International Society for God Consciousness? That way it won't be sectarian, because we see in the name of religion there's so much sectarianism and quarreling and fighting. But Prabhupada didn't agree. He said, no, Krishna is God. This is not sectarian. Just like if we say something ordinary, like if we say there's one mridanga in the room, so that's not sectarian. You know, that's a reality. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People may not know that, but that doesn't change the fact. Our job is to try to educate them more and more. It's not a sectarian concept. If we read Bhagavad Gita carefully, we'll see that Krishna is saying that he's the seed-giving father for everyone, that he's the maintainer of everyone. Those who worship other gods do so incorrectly, without proper knowledge. So, people may take exception and say no, but it doesn't change the fact. Krishna is the full manifestation of Godhead, with all his features. Brahma Samhita talks about it, Chintamani Prakata Sadmashu, Kapraviksha, that he's there. And we give the example of the candles. So one candle, from that candle, another candle can be lit. So we don't say Ram is less in one sense, but he's not the original. And he's thinking himself as a servant of Krishna. This is the difference. So it's monotheistic. We believe there's one God, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. He has a spiritual body, and his form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So let us read a little bit what he says. Not only that, but he's so kind that he comes and speaks this Bhagavad Gita. So last time we were just kind of jumping around until Raj comes back, I guess. I think I'll read from the ninth chapter. Who was it that was telling us that Prabhupada was asked what was the most important chapter, and he said the ninth chapter?
Indradyumna Swami. Indradyumna Swami. Indradyumna Swami.
Oh, yes. The admiral asked him, right? This admiral met Prabhupada for the first time, and he said, I don't have much time to read the whole Bhagavad Gita, so just tell me what's the most important chapter. So Srila Prabhupada said, ninth chapter. So let us read, ninth chapter, page 447.
Sri Krishna Bhagavata said, my dear Arjuna, because you are very envious of me, I show my bhakti's most unconventional knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall believe the law of the material existence.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this chapter a part of Bhagavad Gita which was recited to Krishna, to Arjuna in the battle?
Yeah.
So, then why does it refer to as that the scholars who write about Bhagavad Gita, because this is happening, right? this is not still not written. The Bhagavad Gita is still not written at this point of time.
No, but this purport is not written, spoken at that time. There's a translation that's spoken by Krishna, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The purport is Srila Prabhupada's words.
Oh, okay. So the purport doesn't, it's not a translation to the shloka.
It's an explanation of the shloka.
Okay. It's not a word-to-word translation of
the trans. The word-to-word translation is there.
Oh, okay.
The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart this to you, this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. That's Krishna's words. Then the purport is Srila Prabhupada's words. Then text 2, you see it's in a bold. If you read, you can, it's clear. Purport and translation is a difference.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other? At one point, about the importance of discussing amongst devotees, Prabhupada is making that point. And also the same point about the scholars. Just by scholarship, it's not enough. You have to get mercy. In other words, there are two mentalities. One is that I want to enter into it by my own knowledge, by my own intellect, and understand it. The other is I want to submit and admit that I'm not very qualified, but I'm eager to hear. So please reveal it to me. So that's the method that the devotee takes. He doesn't think he's so smart. Rather, he thinks he's a fool. Lord Chaitanya even, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. Obviously, he's not a fool. But he's taking the mood of a disciple. He's saying, in the presence of my guru, I felt myself a fool. This is the mood of the devotee. I'm not so qualified. He doesn't have to prove anything. He doesn't have to exert himself by being very assertive or in some way commanding respect. He can be very, very humble. When Lord Chaitanya came, he was sometimes very, very humble. He was like sitting at the place where the shoes are kept, neglected place, and then they came and they brought him, took him by the hand, Prakasananda Saraswati. He wasn't trying to prove something because he understood. On my own, I don't know anything. So he's showing us the mood. And we saw Srila Prabhupada in that mood also. He could be very, very humble on his own account. But because he was getting the mercy from Krishna, therefore he could speak with such authority, with such conviction. Sometimes he spoke in such a way that it dispelled all doubts because you could hear the authority in his voice. He was so much sure, he was so convinced of what he was saying. Because he wasn't saying it, you know, as something like we hear on the radio or some guys with an angle, you know, to get something back. He was just repeating. He was just repeating it, but purely with realization. He wasn't just repeating it like a parrot, but he had first heard it, and then he had accepted, and then he had lived it, and then he could repeat it. This is the process. So Prabhupada stresses that, and Bhagavad Gita stresses that over and over again. Therefore, this association is so important. To shantichara, manticara. We enliven each other by discussing. If I was just alone, we wouldn't be able to talk like this. But because you're here, then we have a chance to kind of, you know, flesh it out, so to speak, the message. And that's why I'm asking you. And that's why Vaisheshika is so attractive, right? Because he always makes us contribute something, right? Not that he's just sitting and talking and telling us something like a school teacher, but he wants us to also think and contribute. So this is the process. Therefore, I'll ask you again, very humbly. Anybody else has some insights on this that we can further discuss? There's a lot here. This is a long purport. One point about the purport that you were asking. Of course, we are very loyal to Srila Prabhupada and very devoted to him. Therefore, we're convinced that Srila Prabhupada, especially when he was writing his purports, was directly empowered by Krishna, like a Shaktivesh avatar. So we find that there's no distinction in one sense from the purport and the verse. We think they're both on the spiritual platform. And they're both capable of, you can say, of purifying us or liberating us. Sometimes Prabhupada said, these purports are my emotional ecstasies.
So we shouldn't think, well, only the verse is important because Krishna spoke, but this purport is not so important because it was spoken by a human being. Something like that. We may think like that, but actually, this is not pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is more pleased when we hear and serve his servant than he is if we just try to directly approach him. This is the sweetness, so this is the method that Krishna has given us, the parampara system. So the words of our acharya here, Srila Prabhupada, is more than just a spiritual master. He's the founder acharya of ISKCON and the the authority and the benchmark or the standard which is going to that we're going to accept for the next 10,000 years. This is our faith that so Prabhupada's words are shastra in that sense. Shastra means that it's a spiritual scripture. So we take Prabhupada's words at that level to be spiritual, to not have any impurity mixed in with them. Ordinary person, he speaks some philosophy, there'll be some impurity there. But we don't see Srila Prabhupada in that way. So if there's any question about the purport, we can explain. But the purports are very important because so many people read Bhagavad Gita. This is a fact. So many people like Thoreau and Emerson in America and English language, the Bhagavad Gita had been in English for hundreds of years, and there were so many different translations, like something like 600 translations of Bhagavad Gita. But before Prabhupada's translation and purport, no one had become a devotee of Krishna. Nobody. But this is really what Krishna is telling us. If anybody who reads objectively has to come to the conclusion that Krishna is saying he's God and that we should surrender to him and become his devotee. But nobody had taken it like that. They all take it as some kind of poetry or very nice esoteric thing. But they didn't bring it into their life and embrace it as such. But by Srila Prabhupada's potency, thousands of people have done that, and thousands more, even hundreds of thousands or maybe millions will do in the future. So this is the support that Srila Prabhupada's words are not mundane in any way. This is a proof, you can say.
I have a question.
Please.
So this is told as most confidential knowledge. So, and I remember like it's told like you should not reveal this knowledge to non-devotees. So.
Well, he says those who are envious.
Okay.
Isn't that the word used here? And of course, and that's why, this is a good point, because we're discussing the relationship, or they say the difference between Krishna and the spiritual master. In some ways, the spiritual master is more kind than Krishna, because he does take risk, and he may go into public and start speaking these things, and so that even envious people, may be there. Because he knows the purpose of the Lord, therefore he takes risk on behalf of the Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada, he didn't just stay in Bengal or just stay in Vrindavan. He took a risk at 70 years old. He came on a steamship, right, across the ocean, had a heart attack, so many problems. Why was he taking such risk? Because he wanted to deliver this message. He had a missionary spirit, a zeal, enthusiasm. He didn't want to just save himself. So in that sense, you can say he's more kind. I mean, Krishna, otherwise Krishna's there. Krishna's everybody's heart. Krishna's already in America. He's in everybody's heart. He's in every living entity's heart. So why does Prabhupada have to come? Because he's more kind even than the Lord. He takes that risk because he knows the purpose of the Lord. So sometimes we'll find that the spiritual master does speak in a public audience. There may be envious people there. So why is he doing that? Because of course, the other side is there. We say there's a ninth offense is not to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithful. If you see somebody who's openly envious, then you just avoid them. Yes?
Devotees a lot of times remember verses in Sanskrit. Why is that?
Sanskrit? Well, that's the language that Krishna spoke. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna, he spoke in Sanskrit. So that's the original language that was spoken by Krishna. Therefore, naturally, like this verse, this next verse we're going to do, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. That's pure Sanskrit. That's the words that came out of Krishna's mouth. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam.
I mean, does it have more effect?
Well, it's what Krishna spoke. So why, Of course, we do. We give a word by word. Srila Prabhupada gives a word. Rajavidya means the king of education. And we have this translated into hundreds of languages all over the world. So we don't say you have to know Sanskrit in order to understand Bhagavad Gita. That's not a prerequisite. But still, if we hear how Krishna spoke it, that also has some purification to it. So sometimes we do that. The Prabhupada taught us how to recite these verses together. Because the verse itself, sometimes we give the example of the like a medicine. You don't know how the medicine works, but if you take it, it has some effect over your whole body. So similarly, you don't know exactly how the mantra works. Like the Hare Krishna mantra, that's also Sanskrit. It's a Sanskrit, the language. Hare means it's an invocative case of the word Hari. It means I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but there's an explanation of the word, but it has some special potency because it's connected to Krishna. So in this way, otherwise it's not necessary to know Sanskrit. Even if you don't know the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, and if you chant it, you'll still get the effect. Some effect is there. Just like you don't know the meaning or how the medicine is working, it'll be some effect. That's all right? Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain a little bit about envious? I can understand about ignorance if you don't know about Krishna, but why would anyone be envious of him?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And what is the reason for anybody to be envious of Krishna?
Yeah, that's what we say. What is the reason? He's so sweet. Why would anybody be envious of him? Well, okay. That's a good question. Krishna explains this in the 7th chapter. He says, Isha Dvesha Samutena, which means the two reasons why we come to the material world. One is because of envy, and the other is because of attachment. So what is envy? Well, Krishna is the supreme. He has all opulence. Means he has all wealth, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation, all strength, all what else?
Power.
Okay. So Krishna has all of these things in full. And what do we have? We're so small, we think, God damn it, why shouldn't I have those? Isn't that? The whole world is moving under that principle of envy. I want to be number one. I want to get more than the somebody else. I'm going to get there first. I'll drive my car faster. I want to be number one. That's Krishna's position.
Yeah, but who doesn't believe in Krishna? How can he be envious of him? He doesn't think that there is a Krishna.
No, but everybody's heard of God. And God is in their heart, even if you haven't heard of him. He's still in your heart. Even the Aborigines, they don't know. They still expect, oh, something's greater than me. They worship the thunder or some lightning or something. Nature. But when you become more advanced, you'll see the whole world is full of envy. Every step there's envy. Every step. When I was first coming, I was, going out and selling Back to Godhead magazines in the streets of New York City. And I was a little naive, feeling, oh, people are nice. And I was going with a good mood. I was giving them something that I thought was good, that was good for me. I was giving them Back to Godhead. Oh, man, I would, so many insults and... And actually, sometimes people threw a rock at me. New York's a heavy place. And I remember I came once to a group of black people were there in the park. Get out of here with that brainwashed shit. Yeah, man. I was like shocked that that people were so antagonistic to what I was doing. I just thought it was something, nice and giving books. And so when I came to New York, after that, I did that for a few months. And I came, I saw Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. This was 1968. I just been a devotee for a couple of months. And I came and Prabhupada was sitting there out in the field and I came over and I paid obeisances. It was just Srila Prabhupada and myself. So he said, oh, where are you coming from? And I said, I just came from New York. And he said, he was just asking me something about the New York temple and then I just said, Prabhupada, boy, in New York the people are very rough. And when I said that, Prabhupada said, you're telling me? Because he started this movement there, and he saw so much envy for no reason. I mean, the whole world is full of it. Just read the newspaper. They won't agree. I mean, just to be congenial with each other. Why can't they live together just as, like, as respecting each other? Okay, yeah.
No, they'll kill each other. They take pleasure, right? What's going on in the world? That's envy. They don't care if they go to hell, but I want to kill you. This is envy. What there was a description of the envy. There's a man has a, the two men have farms, right? They live next to each other. And one of them gets a cow, right? A valuable cow, right? So the other one is he gets a wish. What do you want? He gets a wish given to him. Whatever you want, you can have. Okay, what do you want? I want that my neighbor's cow should die. Well, why don't you want a cow for yourself? No, I want my neighbor's cow should die. That's envy, right? And that's what the world is full of. Unfortunately. So, we have to make... That's why, as I said in the beginning, that those who think that this life is all in all, we can be comfortable here, we can be happy here, they won't like the message in Bhagavad Gita so much because it's a transcendental message. It's saying, Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, that this is a not only a temporary place, but it's also full of suffering. It's like you're suffering now, sitting on the hard floor. Why don't we give it better cushions? I mean, we're...
He has one.
Yeah, but these cushions are not bad. I have a fat cushion. I'm sitting very comfortably here. Anyway, there's always the trouble. But if you take the trouble for Krishna, then that becomes purification. Some austerity is required. That's why on the other side we say, yeah, a spiritual life is not cheap, you know. You need so much austerity if you want to do anything. You want to make money, you want to become famous, you have to work. So when you come to Krishna, don't think there won't be some trouble. There has to be. Krishna's not cheap. You have to be ready to sacrifice. That's why also the spiritual master is so valuable, because you can't cheat him. I mean, we tried. Your Prabhupada was so smart that you couldn't trick him or find a way around him or something. No, he was right there in the front. And you had to please him. That was the philosophy. And that's Krishna's philosophy. And Prabhupada made it practical. If he wasn't pleased, he would let you know. I mean, many times. Just by his tone of voice, by his chastisement, even by his look, his face, he made it clear that he wasn't pleased with something that you did. And therefore you felt, well, I have to correct that. And it was some impetus. It wasn't so easy sometimes. I remember some devotees who worked with Prabhupada, you know, like his servants and secretary. Boy, Prabhupada was sometimes very demanding of them. And it was hard. But the other side was, when Prabhupada was pleased, it was the best thing. It was the most wonderful feeling. When he gave his blessing, when you did something to make him smile, then, you know, there was nothing better in all the world. It really wasn't. Whatever you could get in this world, what are you going to get? Money or fame or something? It was nothing compared to what Prabhupada, because you knew Prabhupada if he was pleased, you really earned it, in other words. It wasn't something that you were lucky at, or you bluffed, or you, like some people make millions of dollars just by some quirk, you can say. They didn't really earn it so much, they just got lucky, they put the money in the right place at the right time or something. A lot of it's like that, isn't it, out in the world? It's not just by qualification, but because of, by circumstance. You can say, okay, ultimately that's your karma, which is true enough. But the point is, with on the spiritual side, it's not just karma. I mean, even if you didn't have good karma, still you could please Srila Prabhupada. It had nothing to do with karma. It had to do with, on a spiritual platform, above karma. And so it was very satisfying. But the world is full of envy, that's a fact. I mean, for me, it's easy to see. What's going on in the world? What's going on in the Middle East? What could convince somebody to go on a bus, strap bombs all on their body, and give them and blow up just to make the others suffer, even though they know they're going to die in a horrible way, with their body be blown all over the place? If it's not, they have to be envious of the other people. It can't just be for their own benefit. But I think you're going to see in this world it's going to be more and more like this. It's going to come to India too more. It's going to come more in America. You think these Muslims are not going to retaliate because of what happened in Gujarat? They're going to. There already was a firing in a temple in Jammu, right? This is the world, you know. It's like envy is so prominent. It bubbles over all the time. Matter of fact, Bhagavatam says if you find somebody who's completely free of envy, you can worship them. How many people are like that?
But there's more fighting because of religion. Just
no, but it's not religion. Religion means the principle of religion. It's not. This is not fighting on principle of religion. Where's the principle of religion? Principle of religion is that, like Arjuna was asking, well, what's the principle of religion? And Krishna explained, yes. There are some circumstances where violence is approved, but not by children, not to blow up innocent women and children, and by children. The children are being sent, right? Young people, women, and now girls are doing it, right? 18-year-old girl is going with it. This is not principle of religion. They're just using religion for politics. Like when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, he also said, this is for the greater glory of Allah. Because they become ambitious, they're envious, they have a motive, so they bring Allah involved. Really, Allah has nothing to do with it. Okay, do we have time for more?
I have a question.
Yeah.
You said all the qualities we have are actually the qualities of God. So does that mean that God also has envy, Krishna also has envy?
Well, let's say in the spiritual world, if one gopi like Radharani is serving so nicely that the others may compete, they also want to get Krishna's, you know, attention, or not to get his attention, but to please him. Just like I'm saying, when we please Srila Prabhupada, and he was so happy. But if another gopi does, and Krishna's pleased, then they're happy for it, because the center is Krishna. The center is to make Krishna happy. So therefore, it's not like envy that we find in the material world. But there is some kind of jealousy. But it's a pure jealousy. And if the other one is serving better, and they succeed, because Krishna is the center, then the others are also happy. Oh, it's so nice that you made Krishna happy. Because that's how they measure their happiness. They measure their happiness, just like I was saying about, I measure my happiness by how Prabhupada was pleased with me. When I saw he was pleased with me, then I was more happy than ever, right? Than a pig in stool. So, in the same way, the gopis are saying, if Krishna's pleased, then I'm happy. So if somebody else pleases Krishna even more than me, then I'm happy, because I'm measuring my happiness on seeing how Krishna's happy. But still, there's some jealousies who are in Chandravali's party, they take him to meet her. Then there's some intrigue is there, right? Then the servants of Radharani become disturbed. Why did you take Krishna to some other goal? But again, it's not like the envy of this world. That's all I can say. There's anxiety there too. Mother Yasoda is in anxiety. Oh, is a demon coming to kill Krishna? But because that anxiety is attracted by her, what's the word, peak? Does anybody know that word? Peak means a... Yeah, you probably know English better than me.
Yeah.
So that when she's in that mood, that's very attractive to Krishna. And there are many pastimes like that. Even in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, once that Jagannatha Pandit, he brought some oil all the way from Bengal. He carried this very valuable oil to give to Lord Chaitanya. So when he got there, then he gave it to Lord Chaitanya's servant. He said, please give this to Lord Chaitanya. This is oil, scented oil it was. He says, when he takes massage, he can put a little oil. So it was brought to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, I can't accept this. I'm a sannyasi. How would it look if I'm accepting scented oil, like a perfume? So he didn't take it. So then it told Jagannath Pandit, he said he didn't take it. He said, then Jagannath Pandit just became a little angry. He said, no, I brought this. You please give it to him. So again he refused it. So then it was given back to Jagannath Pandit, and he walked out into the courtyard and he smashed it on the ground. And then the devotees asked him, Jagannath Pandit, he said, what oil? I don't think about any oil. Then he went into his room, he closed the door, and he fasted. For 3 days he fasted. And this was right in the association of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya became a little concerned out of love. So he went to Jagannath and knocked on the door. Jagannath Pandit. He said, Jagannath Pandit, I'm hungry, please cook for me. So Jagannath Pandit was in that mood, you know, he was like Satyabhama, Lord Chaitanya's leader, so he was in that mood. And then he became enlightened. He got up, he took his bath, and he cooked for Lord Chaitanya.
And then after Lord Chaitanya ate, he said, when you cook in this mood, the food is so tasty. I never relished the food. So there was some, there was anger, there were some feelings and things that you would think, for outsider may misinterpret and think there's something strange here. But because it's all centered around the Lord and love, and it's purified. You want to make a point?
I just remember because it's set up an enemy. I was just remembering watching the memories of Prabhupada. And he gave me the description of the enemy of that one is enemy is in the margin. And so he asked Prabhupada, is that Krishna? He said, no, Krishna can also be enemy.
Oh. I see. Madhu was a demon. But Krishna was envious of him. Okay.
Madhudvisa.
Yeah. All right. That was good. See, one verse we talk a lot about one verse. Okay, let's do the next one. Together. Raja Vidya Raja Guryam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, this perfection of religion is joyfully performed. Bhakti Vedanta. Vedanta means knowledge, and bhakti means, so this is knowledge of the bhakti. Okay, who will be the purport? Yeah. Long purport, huh? Because it's a very important verse. So, we only have a minute or two. So this is a good point about the fact that real devotional service, or pure devotional service, only begins when we're liberated. So what are we doing now? Well, what we're doing is more or less like karma yoga. But by continuing it, then we will become pure, and then we'll get a spiritual body where we can render pure devotional service, or we'll come to the level of Brahman, where we'll be acting without any selfish motive. Otherwise, in the beginning stage, Bhagavad Gita explains that there are four kinds of people who come. They all come with some material motive. What is it? They come out of distress, they come inquisitive, they come for money, or they come for seeking knowledge. But actually all four of these, there's some motive. It's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means that we care more for the Lord than we do for ourselves. So that's very rare in this world. Everybody loves himself the most. That's a simple fact. And therefore there's so much quarrel because everybody loves himself the most. So to come to the level of loving somebody more than yourself, really loving somebody more than yourself, can only be happen in devotional service. That's the only way that you can get above your own self-love, is when you find Krishna, who's so much more worthy of your love than you are, even. It said that Jiva Goswami, he loved Krishna 20,000 times more than he loved himself. And because he had so much love for the Lord, that's the same thing with the Prabhupada. Why was the Prabhupada able to attract so many people? What was his power? He wasn't showing magic. He didn't produce some gold out of his hand. He didn't walk on water or take people out of the dead or something, But because we could see that he had something that was so far out, that he had so much love. He really did. And because he was loving Krishna so much, then naturally he loved us. Because that's the real philosophy. You water the root, then you love all the parts of the tree also. That's why this is bogus. In the name of God, they're killing each other like this in a very undharmic way, or irreligious way. This is not pleasing to God. This is not religion. It has nothing to do with religion. Religion means that you love everybody. Because you love God so much, you see everybody's part of God. When you water the root, then all the parts of the tree are benefited. Real religion, a real religious person, he won't be cruel to others because he sees, this is also a child of God. How can I be cruel to them? There won't be any cruelty coming. And so that's one thing, that's what we saw with Srila Prabhupada. He was without any cruelty. And if you list the 26 qualities of devotees are listed, the first one is kindness. He was so kind. He was so feeling, meaningfully involved with us, and he really cared for us. You could sense that. And so that was the first, it was such a wonderful feeling. as an adult at least, to have another adult really care for you. Right? It's like, and so we wanted to reciprocate. He was giving us so much. It wasn't that something, you know, we were bribing us or twisting our arm or something. Okay, now you have to work hard for me. We're getting a salary. We worked for, we're not getting salary, we just worked. We went, I mean, probably sent me to Japan. I remember I was in Japan for some time and I had to leave the country to go to get my visa extended. I had to go to Korea. And I was tied up there. The embassy was closed. I had to spend a weekend there. And you know, I stayed in some cheap motel. You know what I did for 3 days? I slept. The only time I got up was to pass urine. Then I was working so hard that I was just completely exhausted. And so when I got a break, I just slept. So, I mean, how was it? I was a 25-year-old man working in a foreign country in Japan, going out every day. My quota was 250 books. I was selling 250 books a day, every day, 6 days a week. On Sunday, I only did 125 because we had a feast. For years, for 3 years, I was working like that. No salary, nothing. How did we do it? Because Prabhupada would just pat us on the head and we think, wow, that was worth it. That, and so how was it? What? It was some kind of mystic power. Sometimes Prabhupada joked about it. He said, I have hypnotized you. And it was like that. I mean, we just worked. Only it wasn't like hypnotism because we knew what we were doing. You know, it was all based on the philosophy. And Prabhupada was reciprocating. Nobody can work like that without reciprocation. Whatever we did for him, he was giving us more. That was the feeling. We did so much for him, but just one gesture from him, that was more. I mean, he was coming to us, right? He came to America. So much trouble. He was taking so much trouble to push on this movement in so many ways. Staying up in the middle of the night, translating the books for us. Doing so many things. I remember he sent me to Taiwan. He was so enthusiastic about it. I was thinking, boy, he's more enthusiastic than I am. And I'm the one that's going there. He was enthusiastic about everything, you know, about his movement and pushing out. So it wasn't like that he was cheating us in any way. Nobody felt that they were being cheated. So why? Because he was loving Krishna. Because he had so much love for Krishna, then naturally he loved us. He loved everybody. This is this real sign of somebody who loves God. Not that you love God and hate God's creatures, and blow them up and get on a bus and kill them indiscriminately. That's nothing to do with God. God is far away from that. Yes?
I'm just reminded of, there's a hymn, like, let all beings be happy.
Yeah. That was Prabhupada's mood. He wanted everybody to be happy. But he knew that to be happy, you had to connect with God. You can't be happy separate from God. He knew that, so he had some knowledge. Therefore, he was saying, this is the best way to connect to God. Chant Hare Krishna. Give up sinful activity. So he was preaching, you know. It wasn't just sentimental, everybody should be happy. You know, he's saying, yeah, this is how you can be happy. Give up your sinful activities, chant Hare Krishna, then you'll be happy. Okay, I think did it go over time? What time is it?
8:10.
Huh? We're supposed to have arti at 8?
Yeah. But Krishna is waiting.
You better do arti. Otherwise, I won't be able to get up in the morning. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.